Well, it's not true that I got the second prize amongst the preachers. First prize was preaching on fasting, the second prize was preaching twice on fasting, because I'm preaching at the 11 o'clock as well, and Keith has got the dubious advantage of hearing me twice this morning, but he'll be able to check me out anyway. But I wonder what your response is to the thought of fasting. It's certainly something which is pretty popular. We all did it last night, probably. And we broke our fast this morning with breakfast. That's a very good kind of fast, actually, to fast while you're asleep. It's one of the easier kinds. So if ever you do a fasting blood test, it's generally not as bad as it seems because you're asleep for most of the time. On the other hand, you've probably seen that little thing that's around about, you know, if fridges were not meant to be open during the night, why would they have a light? And you may be one of those people who breaks your fast during the night. So maybe your fasting is not as long as it might be. But fasting is incredibly popular. If you look on Amazon, do a search on fasting on Amazon Books, and you will find hundreds and hundreds of titles in all sorts of different subjects, such as weight loss, health and fitness, mind and spirit, well-being. Pentecostal preachers is even one of the sections on Amazon for that. Loads and loads of books on Amazon, and you will see that particularly popular is the 5-2 diet, where you eat for 5 days and fast for two. Pity the person who misunderstands it. And there are endless recipe books tied up with the 5-2 diet. And most of the books are about weight loss and health, some of them about very strange kinds of spiritual power, and some of them are really quite helpful books about spiritual power, but quite a lot of them have got very scary pictures of the authors on them as well, and even scarier pictures of the people who've been doing the fasting. So fasting is out there, fasting is popular, fasting is a big thing. But I was sort of knocked for six a little bit, really, in Lent, when a Muslim friend of mine simply said to me, "Are you fasting?" And that was an interesting challenge for me, because I don't fast during Lent, certainly not in the way that he would fast during Ramadan. And he said, "Well, Jesus fasted." He said, "We're very disappointed by Christians. We love Jesus, and you don't do what Jesus does." Which left me with an interesting reflection and made my Facebook fast for Lent look a little bit thin, really. Not quite what he was talking about. So let's think this morning about what fasting might mean for us today as a spiritual discipline. We're looking at prayer. Last week we thought about giving, which was probably another exciting topic for some people. And today we're thinking about fasting. But I think this is the first time I've ever given a health warning before I preach. And it's not a health warning about my sermon so much as to say, actually, there are some situations when you ought not to fast from food. And one of them is if you're ill. Another is if you're pregnant. And another one is if you have an eating disorder. So just be sensible about this. God is a God who made us, who loves us, and wants the best for us. And it's not about doing crazy things in order to try to impress God. In fact, one of the problems with religion is that we can so easily get caught up with trying to impress God. So easily it can be about outward acts, about outward show, about doing what we think will look good. So what does the Bible say about fasting? Well, W.C. Fields, the comedian, not long before he died, a friend caught him reading the Bible. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking for loopholes." And it's very easy to approach the Bible in that way when we come to something like fasting. Well, we're not looking for loopholes, but we're just looking for some honest answers as to what God wants to say to us today about fasting. The first thing is, the Bible, I think, says less than you might think about fasting. In the end, there's not a great deal about fasting in the scriptures. What's there is important, but there's less than you might think. And it's more complicated than you might think as well. It sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, fasting, we just stop eating for a bit and then break our fast and carry on. There's one mention in the Mosaic Law about fasting. one command to fast, and that is the Day of Atonement. And if you look up Leviticus 16:29, depending on which version of the Church Bible you've got, you will either see the word fast or deny. Because apparently the Hebrew text doesn't use the usual word for fast. It uses the word deny, which has got a broader meaning to it. It includes being humbled. It includes being bowed down or bowing down and humbling ourselves. So the fasting was not just about a simple mechanical not eating. It was also about an attitude to God in fasting. There are lots of examples in the Old Testament of people fasting, but they're usually descriptive. It tells us that they fasted and it tells us why they fasted. Sometimes they fasted because they were in mourning. Sometimes they fasted because they were lamenting something bad that had happened and they wanted to express their feelings to God. Often people fasted in penitence when they were repenting, when they wanted to say sorry to God. And other times fasting was closely linked to prayer, especially if they were in danger, if there were enemies doing terrible things to them. But very often the Old Testament mentions about fasting are descriptive rather than commands. It's interesting that in Zechariah chapter 7, if I can find it quickly, they go to ask the Lord, "Should I mourn and fast in the fifth month, as I have done for so many years?" And the word of the Lord Almighty came to Zechariah, and ask all the people of the land and the priests, "When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, is it really for me that you fasted?" That's God's response to them. After 70 years of fasting in the fifth and the seventh month, and he says, "Was it really for me that you fasted? When you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Are these not the words the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and prosperous?" We'll come back to that a little bit later on. But there's less emphasis in the Old Testament on God commanding fasting than we might think. Fasting was part of the game. It was part of life. But it was more complex than it looks. So what about Jesus? What does Jesus have to say about fasting? Well, there's Jesus' example that my neighbor told me about, that Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights, which I'm not sure even happened in Ramadan, actually. Fasted for 40 days and nights. An interesting parallel with Moses, who fasted for 40 days and nights before the giving of the law. And there's a clear connection there between the old covenant and the new covenant, between the old way and the new way, and Jesus linking himself with something new happening. His disciples didn't fast. And that was something they were accused of, or Jesus was accused of. But the Pharisees and John's followers said, "Why don't your disciples fast?" Pharisees fasted twice a week. We don't know how often John's disciples fasted. But they said to Jesus, "Why don't your disciples fast?" And Jesus' response was, "Why would you fast when the bridegroom is with you? That fasting can come later when I've gone away." And I think that gives us a really helpful clue as to what fasting is about. I don't think that the essence of fasting is about giving ourselves a hard time. It's not about proving something to God. It's not about impressing God. I think the essence of fasting is about intimacy with Jesus. And that is what the disciples had when Jesus was on earth. He was there. And I think Jesus is hinting that one of the reasons for fasting when he is gone is because we want to make time for him. We want to give energy to seeking him. And so the question is, how serious are we about God? Fasting is about replacing one kind of hunger with another. Hunger for God with a spiritual hunger. If we're hungry for God, fasting is one opportunity to come close to God. One opportunity to discover intimacy with God. I think we talk very easily, don't we, about things like a personal relationship with God. We talk about how we experience God, all those things. My guess is that we all experience God in very different ways. And when we use those words, we might well be meaning different things. How can we know what another person feels? How can we know what's going on inside each other? We can't. But what is clear is that God wants to come to us. God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants to be closer to us than we recognize. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, says in the Old Testament. So the essence of fasting is about replacing our hunger for God with hunger for food. Or the other way around, if you want to look at it. But they're connected. That hunger for food points to hunger for God. So Jesus' disciples will fast when he's gone, as part of their seeking him and finding him. Jesus also says that fasting should be private. And in the reading we had, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Well, I'm trying to see whether there are any disfigured faces around this morning. I'm not quite so sure. I don't think there are, actually. So maybe that means nobody's fasting, but well, that's another issue. But truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. See, this is not about boasting. This is not about letting people know how close we are to God. Fasting is a private act. In the same way that, as Jesus said, giving is a private act. And he also said that prayer is a private act. Doesn't mean we can never talk about them, but they are essentially between us and God. And fasting is between you and God. And I'm not going to ask you whether you're fasting or whether you have fasted. That's between you and God. It's about you reaching out for God, seeking God. And he says, go the other way. He says, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Now, just be careful with the oil on your head bit, but that was a particularly cultural thing, how you sort of dressed up in those days. But you may want to pour some olive oil on your head, I don't know. And wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And he who sees what is done in secret will reward you. All of that suggests to me that fasting is to do with seeking after God. It's about seeking intimacy with God, seeking to be close to him. What about in the early church? The second reading we had was about the church in Antioch. And it says that while they were fasting, an assumption, a similar assumption to what Jesus makes, Jesus says, when you fast, assuming that people will be fasting, while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit told them to set apart Barnabas and Saul for a new task, to go off to plant churches. And I think that maybe this is another dimension of fasting that we don't often talk about. What we've talked about so far and what we usually think about is personal fasting, about what we do ourselves. But there's a sense here in which there is corporate fasting, where the leaders of the church come together to pray. They fast together in order to be open to God, in order to hear God's voice. So there are times in Christian churches and in groups and in teams when it's appropriate and right to fast and pray together. That's not about the boastfulness that Jesus was talking about. That's about us opening ourselves together as a group, as a team, to hear God's voice, to hear God's guidance. Acts 14:23, the next chapter, as Paul and Barnabas went around, then they appointed elders in the different churches and they fasted and prayed about that. They opened themselves to God's guidance. So in the early church, there was corporate fasting, as well as, presumably, individual fasting, personal fasting. So why should we fast? What are the reasons why we should fast? Some of them have been hinted at already, haven't they? But one of them is penitence. Repentance. Coming to God to face him as we are, to receive his forgiveness. It's not something that he's going to persuade God. God won't forgive us because we have fasted, because we're doing a particular act. That's not the way God works. But there's an appropriate kind of penitence expressed in fasting. A second reason is to do with prayer and guidance. What I said about teams and about church leaders and so on can be true of us as individuals as well. Maybe you're facing a big decision. Maybe you are not sure about the way to go. An appropriate thing to do is to pray and to fast. And one of the things about fasting is that it allows you to concentrate on God, to put time aside. You see, when we fast, it frees up time, apart from anything else. It frees up time from eating, from preparing food, even from gathering food. And the danger of fasting being a mechanical thing is that we fast, but we don't do anything else. The point of fasting is in order to come to God. The point of fasting is in order to pray. The point of fasting is in order to seek God. And so, prayer for guidance is something which is a time when we can fast, a time when we can consciously go without food. A third reason for fasting is self-discipline, controlling the body. The problem with eating is that it's the easiest thing in the world to do if you've got the food there, isn't it? You can just get carried away with the eating, binge eating. And self-discipline, there are times when we need to put our body right, when we need to take control of ourselves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German who resisted Hitler and was executed days before the end of World War II. And he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And this is what he said. He said, "If we give free rein to the desires of the flesh, we shall find it hard to train for the service of Christ. When the flesh is satisfied, it's hard to pray with cheerfulness for or to devote oneself to a life of service which calls for much self-renunciation." In other words, fasting is about taking control of our body, of our lives, to free us for costly service. Self-control, self-discipline is another reason for fasting. Michael Green said fasting strengthens self-discipline. Another reason is solidarity with those who don't have food. World Vision for years have done the 40-hour famine. And part of that has obviously been fundraising, but part of it is to give people the experience of not having food, of not eating, of hunger, and to realize how many in the world that is their daily norm. And fasting can give us that empathy, that understanding, that sympathy with those who don't have food, with those who don't eat easily, don't have regular food like we do. So Michael Green again said that fasting lessens the hold of material things upon us. It shows God that we mean business. It lessens the power of habit, and it enables us to seek God without distraction. So what about us now and fasting? John Piper said, "The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie." The greatest enemy for hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. Choose any food you like, actually. But his point is that when we are satisfied in every way, our hunger for God diminishes. Have you noticed how when you've got a problem, when things are difficult, when things are tough, it's not difficult to pray. It's not difficult to look to God. When things are going well, when everything's okay, it's very easy to slip, very easy to neglect God, very easy to forget him. Fasting is one of those disciplines that will help us to focus on God, help us to focus on our need for him. Dan Allender said, fasting from any nourishment, activity, involvement or pursuit for any season sets the stage for God to appear. Fasting is not a tool to pry wisdom out of God's hands or to force needed insight about a decision. Fasting is not a tool for gaining discipline or developing piety, whatever that means. Instead, fasting is the act of ridding ourselves of our fullness to attune our senses to the mysteries that swirl in and around us. Yes, we pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We pray for insight. We develop discipline. But most of all, we want to strip away the things that hinder us from meeting God, the things that take him away. Whatever our reasons for fasting, Jesus took it for granted that fasting would have a place in our Christian life. So where are you with the Lord yourself? Does the Lord seem distant? Does the Lord seem near? That can be for all sorts of reasons. One of the experiences of Christians down the ages has been of God being far away. The dark night of the soul. Sometimes it's as though God chooses to withdraw from us. Very hard to understand. But in order to help us to seek him, to look for him. Where are you with the Lord? Is fasting something that will be a discipline that will help you to focus on him, that will help you to make time for him, that will help you to come close to him? That is all very well. But in the Old Testament, God spoke about another kind of fast. And he said this to his people, who were struggling because they felt that fasting wasn't working. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends up in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Fasting is not just a mechanical process. It's linked to the other things that are going on in our lives. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? Is that a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Fasting is a discipline given to us by God, practiced by Jesus, practiced by believers down through the ages, practiced in the early church by leaders. But in the end, it's to lead us to live godly lives, lead us to work for justice, freedom in the world. Micah the prophet said, "He has shown you, man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God." Yes, let's go without food or whatever else it is that we're called to give up. But let's do justly. Let's love mercy. Let's walk humbly with our God. Amen.